Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way! No way!
Johnson has run over to score! This is incredible! This is ridiculous! This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter!
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap for round one of the NRL. And round one's in the books. And in terms of Supercoach, it can only be described as, well, a bit of a stinker, really, with pretty low scoring from our key players. But as someone who's played close to 9 or 10 years of Supercoach, the surprises Supercoach-wise that round one threw up is actually really exciting. Like, I'm excited about it, what it means going forward. It's certainly going to challenge all the Supercoaches out there to make decisions about their list and what's happening, particularly after round two, before price rises or price losses with those marquee players. I mean, who would have had Cleary and Hines both going under 40 in the first round, and who had Lomax, Adenfanua, Blake, Cartwright and Sloan tonning up? And then there was a couple of other surprising ones today, Kyle Lay. But throws up plenty of questions and a few possible answers for the upcoming season for Supercoach. It's going to be a busy week of trade contemplations, really. So just thinking about, should you trade or not? I'm happy enough. I've said this sort of fairly openly in the chats and to our group, is I'm happy enough to burn 2 or 3 boosts and 6 to 9 trades in the first 3 weeks just to get my team sorted. I wasn't real confident going in. And I think this is the first year where I haven't felt really confident about my plays in my side. Like, normally I'm really confident and then I reassess after round one and round two and realize that I've got some things wrong. But this time I was just really umming and ahhing and didn't know for certain positions whether I should throw a cheapie in there or not, or who I should go. And yeah, I probably made a couple of bad calls. I think I got about 835, which I'm not really sure where that stacks up. It'd be a fairly mediocre score, I'd say. But I did see a fair few scores in the high 800s, not too many 900s. If you got over 1,000, you've done really well. So, righto, let's have a look at the games. So the weekend of upsets started Thursday night with the Raiders win over the Knights. And that game was just a classic example of why the Raiders will win games this year. They just don't beat themselves. It's as simple as that. Extremely well coached. They're fit. They're tough. They fight and scrap and frustrate the opposition. To be fair, the Knights did a pretty good job of frustrating themselves. Multiple kicks out on the full. I think one was off a kickoff, one was going for a 40-20. Phoenix Crosland, he didn't have his best night. And plenty of errors. So the Knights lacked a lot of poise and rhythm. They're a side that needs to get into rhythm, and you saw a few sides like that. I felt like the Warriors were the same. They really need that rhythm and momentum, and you know that once they find that, then they can go on a bit of a run. But fair play to the Raiders. They just hung in there. They ended up winning quite convincingly. But they did look fairly limited in attack. But like I was saying to the Supercoach boys, I mean, they did lose Whiten and he was their marquee attacking player and they're going to miss him. There's no doubt about that. But when you've got Whiten gone, you also get rid of a few errors. Like he had probably averaged, you know, a kick out on the full every one or two games and he probably averaged one or two handling errors. So in terms of if they're going to play higher completion and that type of stuff, they're probably going to really challenge some teams early in the year before they get their game on. Jaden Brayley is a huge out for the Knights. I know he wasn't there for a big portion of last year, but he's a massive upgrade NRL-wise on Phoenix Crosland, in my opinion. So I think if he gets fit and playing, then I think the Knights can make the top eight as long as Ponga stays fit. Okay, having a look at a few of the Supercoach scores. So we're going to break them down into the bad, the good, and the watch. So wait and see. So in terms of bad, there was none that were really relevant. The good ones, Frizzell, 74, Hosking, 92, but is it really relevant with Whitehead coming back? Smithy's biggest standout. I think he's a must. You've got to have him in your side. I'll talk about it a bit later, how I sort of made a decision to go against my gut instincts with Tamalolo instead of Flegler. And I was really disappointed with that, obviously. It cost me about 50 or 60 points, but it actually did allow me to get Smithy. So that was the positive side of that. That late change that I had. So, and I think everyone's going to want Smithies in their side. He could make up to 200K, I'd say. He's probably not going to kill it with attacking stats, but if he can keep that 13 spot, and that's a big if because Horsburgh's got to come back, but he looked solid and looked like he was going to play to what Canberra want him to do, then I think he could definitely average around that 50 to 55 and he's going to make a bit of cash. So they were the goods. The wait and see or the watches. Ponga 50. I mean, didn't seem that bad after some of the marquee players scores, but yeah, he looked really good. Probably overplayed a bit, and he needs to find his rhythm and his groove there. It's a bit unlucky there with the obstruction call to bring it back. That cost him a few points, but and he sort of didn't do too much after that as well. So I feel like he's still a solid play, but again, it's going to make it a decision. If he goes low again or around that 50, he's going to bleed a lot of cash. So similar to Nico and Cleary, super coaches are really going to be challenged whether they hold their nerve after round two before price rises or price losses, or whether they pull the trigger and try to keep that value in their team. Danny Levi, geez. Try makes a huge difference. I mean, there was he looked like he was heading for a really low score. I mean, he's basically bargain basement price. He's about 238, I think. He knocked out a 45, but like I said, I mean, he could have been headed for a sub 20 score before he scored that try. So I won't be rushing to get him in, but if you have him, then you'd just be hoping he can put together a few of those performances and slowly creep up some money to get to someone more valuable, or you know, to downgrade maybe to a cheapy hooker and then use it in other positions if one appears later in the year. Kai Pierce-Paul, 345K. I think he got inflated minutes because there was an injury to Lucas. He scored 43. Probably just keep an eye on him. He looked good. He's very rangy. Ethan Strange, 28. Actually, he beat his break even. So I think he's going to be a bit of a slow burn, but I think he will have some good games. So, yeah, most people will stick with him as their second 5'8". Adam Mariotta, pretty good. 35 in limited minutes. He only played 30 minutes. He's a close watch with Horsburgh coming back. You've got Whitehead to come back into that pack. So where he fits in, I'm not sure. I wouldn't be rushing him in. But if you've got him, then, you know, just hopefully he gets the minutes. Okay, on to the Friday night footy. And that was on for the first time in 2024. The Warriors took on the Sharks in front of a packed crowd in New Zealand. the Sharks hung in there after an opening barrage from the Warriors, and they came away with the win. Much like the Knights, like I was saying before, the Warriors' attack relies on that rhythm and momentum. They lost their rhythm at different times throughout the game and made crucial errors. Jackson Ford, I thought, was pretty poor. Like, he runs that good hard line, but, you know, you can't have him coming up with three errors a game, I think he had. I think he's under a bit of pressure. Nia Cora's got to come back into that side. I'm not sure what's happening with his foot. He might be a few weeks away. But young Jacob Laban, he can't be too far away. He was named in the 23-man squad, and there was no other edge back rollers. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out. And if he comes into the side, I think he's the type of player like Eli Katoa did a couple of years ago that you won't get him out of the side. I really rate him. So we'll see what happens. I thought the Sharks were gritty. They got a win away from home against the top four sides, so you can't really knock them for that. They had a lot of trouble beating top eight sides. Now, whether people think the Warriors are going to be a top eight side this year or not, it's still a big win with the momentum that the Warriors have over there. They looked all over them in the first probably 30 minutes, and then the Sharks just jagged that try from dummy half and just kept themselves in the game. So I think the Warriors would be pretty disappointed with that loss. And then they got to head to Melbourne next week. So it makes it all the more hard to deal with. Let's have a look at the Supercoach scores. So Friday nights, I've actually been helping out reffing some juniors in Rocky. They've got a ref shortage at the moment. So I don't see the games until later. I come home and watch them on the replay. So I ran onto the field to do reffing, and one of the young fellas who was captain of the team ran out for the coin toss, and he said to me, "Oh, did you play Nico?" And the trainer did as well, so I knew something was up. And then, yeah, they quickly told me that he'd shit the bed. So that was pretty interesting. Even though you're not following the scores really closely, there's plenty of people out there that are Supercoach fans letting you know what's happening. So let's have a look at the bad, as well as Nico. He got 26. Limited involvement. I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes with those games over in New Zealand because they're not conducive to footy. Like, if he plays next week, let's have a look where they play. So it's a 6 o'clock game on Friday night at Shark Park. So, again, that might be dewy. We'll see what the ground's like there, but he's usually pretty good there. But definitely, it didn't seem to suit him. He seemed a little bit off. He's probably carrying that injury, so hopefully he gets through that for owners. Trindle, 18. Put a red pen through him, I'd say. Wade Egan, 34. Looked really good NRL-wise, but injuries are a real concern. He keeps getting head knocks, and he doesn't seem to be able to stay on the field. And I'd say, you know, the fact that Webster was carrying someone like Lussick on the bench, you know, just shows that he's not real confident in his ability to get through a game. It's not really fitness. It's just he seems to find an injury here and there. And it really affected the Warriors, to be fair. Like, they were, when he plays and gets out and engages, they just roll the ruck and it sets up their whole play. And when he's not on there, it makes a huge difference. Chanel Harris-DeVita might be someone who gets a look in there because he's very, I've seen him do that in the past, get out and engage the markers, but we'll see what happens. The good was Adam Fanua Blake is enormous. I mean, the Sharks would have been so happy with that game because they came out with the win, and then also the player that they recruited from the Warriors next year just showed him how good he is. He was unbelievable. I thought Talakai was close to the best player on the field behind AFB. He got 75. AFB got 103. Metcalf, 70. He's priced at a 48-point average. Yeah, he got that try. I think he had a try assist as well. So he's going to be attack reliant. But, yeah, I feel like with Johnson just managing the team, he might get a bit more ball, and he's got RTS on his side as well. So might be one to consider there. Keep a very close eye on him at 5'8". The watchers, SJ66, I think he's just going to be someone you might get later in the year. If you're happy to pay value for him and get value, I think 30 of those were in forced dropouts, amazingly. Tohu, 66. RTS, yeah, I think that was a fair debut, 46. You probably need a little bit more from him, but I think he'll have games where he'll offer a bit in attack and he'll have attacking stats. That was probably about the base of what he'll do. Whether he represents value, I'm not sure. How much opportunity is he going to get? That's a huge one as well. I think day games he'd look good, but Warriors do play a lot of games at night, so we'll see what happens there. Tane Tuipiki, 49 with 7 tackle breaks. Oh, please, if he can just get through to week 3 or 4 and get a couple of price rises, he's going to be awesome for owners. I think a fair few people have him. I know I do. Okay, on to the second game. Panthers versus Storm. Top 6 sides definitely, and most likely top 4 sides in my opinion. That was a high-quality game, and I've seen some pretty ordinary games, and one of them was today in terms of quality. Both sides are going to get better in attack. There's no doubt about that, but the defense was enormous. Just the Storm, they just turn up for milestone matches. Harry's captaincy debut, and I think it was Lairo's 50th game, and also that round one record of Craig Bellamy. Just unbelievable, particularly without Cameron Munster there. So, yeah, the Storm have come to play this year. I think both teams are going deep, deep into this season, so keep an eye on that. Okay, let's have a look at the Supercoach scores. The Bad, Pappy 30. Oh, I know it was a low-scoring game, and he did look good, but no kicking also. I think just put him in the back pocket there. Cleary, 36. I mean, he'll get better. I feel actually probably more confident in Cleary than Hines. I sort of had a feeling that things are going to change a little bit with Sharks. Something has to change there if they want to make it further than they have, like not just make the bottom of the 8 and then bow out in the first or second game. So, and it's got to be around Hines, in my opinion. So if they actually pull back what he does in attack and he focuses more on defense, that's going to help them as an NRL side. It's obviously going to massively affect his super coach. I'm not sure if we actually seen that in the Sharks versus the Warriors game, but yeah, I think Cleary, he'll just get better and better. Liam Henry, 36 points in 35 minutes, cheapy front row forward option. I'm putting him in on the watch list there. Taylor May, just get him. If you haven't got him, he's a must. 67, he looked outstanding against a really good defense, was breaking tackles. Yeah, he's going to be a must this year. Sonny Luke, did we all get him a year early? What's going on there? 62. Oh, I can't do it to myself, not after last year. I mean, I've got to see some more sample size. Sonny's going to have to do that a couple of times for me to get him in, but I think Mitch Kenny comes back next week anyway, so I'm not even going to entertain that. Watch Joe Chan. I thought he was very impressive in the NRL. 24 points. It's not great. I think he played about 65 minutes. But, yeah, there was a few near misses there. He did look good. It was a dour, low-scoring game with only a try off a kick. So I wouldn't put a red line through Joe Chan at the moment, but I'm glad I didn't get him. Harry Grant, 49, just stick with him. He's gonna get better. I mean, he didn't score up there with the best hookers this week, but I wouldn't be pulling the trigger yet. Just give him another week and see how he goes. Okay, as I mentioned last week, Timmy Williams, the SC Playbook Doyen, has come on board, and he's going to ask me 3 questions throughout the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap. And let's get the first question from Timmy Williams.
G'day, Waltz. Basically, a new integration into the Weekly Wrap podcast. The biggest queries I have with my side for the weekend questions, I'm throwing straight at you, mate, to get your thoughts on it. And as one of the sharpest minds in rugby league and supercoach that I know, who better to do it? First one, everyone is battling at front row at the moment. That Taumalolo 19-odd minutes was a horror show. Do we bite the bullet and go Terrell May straight away, or should we be waiting to see the impact of Jabiru Hargreaves and the injuries that happened in Vegas at the Roosters?
Thanks, Timmy. Yeah, Terrell May, I mean, I'm leaning towards biting the bullet on him, to be honest. I think that particularly after what Robinson said in his post-game interview, he just said he was that good he couldn't take him off. It is tough in that forward pack. JWH has got to come back in. I think it was Nafua White had really limited minutes. But I think Terrell May, just the quality of his output, I mean, he doesn't miss a tackle very often. He was offloading at will. He looks stronger than everyone else, and they're playing against a quality side over there in Vegas. So I'm going to have a look at what I've got going on, but if I could bring him in this week, I think I probably will. I think if you can get him in the next 2 weeks, that'd be good. I mean, if you have question marks over him, yeah, it makes sense to just wait and see what happens with JWH's minutes, but I think I'm going to bite the bullet and go early. Okay, Super Saturday brought us two games. The Eels, they had a clear class edge there over the Bulldogs. They dominated them through the middle and held the ball well, really. And at the same time, they were using their offloads and they tied the Dogs out. So I thought the Dogs actually held on pretty well to stay within distance, but you'd expect that early in the year. I expected the Bulldogs to be fairly competitive for the first sort of 10 weeks of the season and jag a couple of wins maybe here or there. So I think they actually held on pretty well. My biggest fear for them is it was round one and they looked really tested in the middle and they started to look tired and beaten up because there's a lot of small players playing in the middle. You know, you've got that Morin, Brad Morin, I think it was, and they've also got Mann, and then we've got Salmon, who, yeah, he does have a big body, but he's not really used to playing in the middle. So, yeah, like my fear for them is that, like what I said in the preseason, I think they're my favourite to come last because they just haven't got any middles. I see that they've gone out and recruited Zane Tedovano. He played reserve grade this week, and also Daniel Saluka for Fafita. So maybe they can provide some answers for him, but they're hardly sort of marquee players. They're just more journeymen that have been around a few clubs, so we'll see how that goes. It does matter. Like, size and quality in the middle of the field matters, and you need some depth. That's why a side like the Roosters is looking so good this year. The Eels look good. They should push hard for the top eight. So, Supercoach scores the bad. Burton, 17. That's a red pen job for me. Yeah, I'm not considering Burton, particularly with the lack of how much they're going to have to defend the Canterbury Bulldogs. Puasa Farmasili, some people might have been dragged into. You know, he played okay in the trials for small periods of time, but he's not a big minute player. He got 18. He didn't get a lot of minutes, and I thought he was disappointing. Mitchie Moses, 32. He got a groin injury. Pretty unlucky. It's going to be interesting going forward. I don't know how that heals in a week, and they play Penrith, but he played through the game and he was kicking and things like that. So, yeah, keep an eye on that. I mean, if you have Mitch Moses, it'd be worrying signs, but thankfully for you, the other two halfbacks, Hines and Cleary, went pretty poor as well. Max King, so he got 47 and he's priced at 55, so people might say it's a bit harsh for me to say he's in the bad list, but I think if you bought Max King, you'd be thinking he'd definitely get to his value of a 55, or he'd be well and truly exceeding it with his workload. Now, maybe he will if they get more ball, but I can't really see it. I'm happy to not have Max King because I think they're going to look for other options in that middle forward, and he's just going to play his 50 minutes, and he'll pump out an average of somewhere between 45 and 60, which is not enough to entice me to get him because there's not much upside there. The good, Joshy Curran, 48. He's priced at 43, so it's a little bit above, but he got pretty good minutes. He came on after 15 minutes, played the rest of the game. Some of that might have been due to injuries, and I noticed that playing in the middle sort of stunted his attack a little bit, but he did get some time on the edge. I'm happy to stick with him at this stage. I don't think he'll have that dynamic upside that he's had previously at the Warriors, but yeah, I'm happy to stick with him because I think he'll pump out the tackles and runs and things like that, and he'll definitely provide value and just a solid option there in the second rows. Bryce Cartwright. Wow. Yeah, I talked him up a little bit in the preseason because he was going well, but he just looked unbelievable. He was great and offloading, and yeah, I'm asking myself, can I get him in? Honestly, if I can get him in, I'll get him in. So 102 points, but that's, I'm not sure if that's after updates or not. I mean, he scored two tries. I thought he was going to update to sort of 120-ish, but maybe he downdated there. But yeah, the latest score I saw was 102. Joey Lussick, 58. I think there's a bit of a question later on from Timmy about the hookers, so I'll talk about it a bit more then. But that 58 could be a little bit deceiving. It included a try assist and line break assist for the, you know, you get them together, obviously. That was 20. And then he had a 40-20, which was another 10. So other than that, he had 28. And he played a fair bit of the game as well. I thought he played really well. I just don't know if he's going to consistently get sort of the 60-minute mark, or he possibly got more than that. He probably got 60 to 70 minutes. So, yeah, at this stage, he looks like a good option, but I wouldn't be rushing into it. I'd have another look at him and then see what happens after week two and then make a call on it. In the watch list, I had Sammy Hughes, 19 Supercoach points in 28 minutes, but he looked good. He really did. So I think he's going to get more minutes. They're sort of just going to slowly blood him in. I wouldn't be surprised if they just had like a bit of a minutes limit on him, so under 20, and then for the first few rounds, then maybe he goes up to 25, 30, and they gradually build him up to the 40-minute mark by the end of the year. So he might be a bit of a slow burn, or if he doesn't get those points, he might be a bit of a bust in the front row forward position. Because they do have, you know, Ted Ivano and Daniel Saluka-Fifita come in there somewhere over the next couple of weeks. Karaz, 39. I put him as a watch because I thought he looked pretty good. He just didn't get much opportunity. So we'll see what happens. There was an injury there to Josh Addo-Carr, whether he goes to the wing or whether they just bring Connor Tracy on to wing. Connor Tracy could play centers. Karaz could go to the wing. I think he'd be more appealing if he went to the wing. But, yeah, the Bulldogs will definitely have a better attack. You know, they've got players like Crichton and that, but they didn't really get much of a chance to show it against Parramatta. Hutchinson, 32. He's just a watch for me. Salmon, 30. Yeah, jury's out on those two. I didn't start with them, and I'm not overly keen to get them in after what I saw. But I'll keep an eye on them because they are fairly cheaply priced. Dylan Brown, 51. That's a pass mark. I mean, I think he can go a lot better. So we'll just wait and see. But, yeah, I'd hate for him to get another score that's sort of around that 50 or underneath, and then you got to make a decision on him. But I think I'll stick with him for the long haul.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, on to the late game Saturday. On paper, I looked like a bit of a stinker for the main game. That was the Dragons versus the Titans, but it was actually a pretty good watch. Titans, I thought, yeah, they were always going to be in trouble when Jaden Campbell, Dave Fifita, and Kieran Foran got ruled out late. The Dragons, yeah, they were impressive. And they sort of loom there as a dangerous team. If they can get momentum, I like the look of their players. They look fit. They look ridiculously fit and strong. So they've been, you know, whatever Flano's doing, he's gone back to the well there, but he's got the players looking good. I like the look of their centres. Like Jack Bird played really well, and Moses Suli, that was unbelievable. When they kicked the ball dead and I seen him sprint it back, I didn't even know who I was watching. I couldn't believe it. I had to look twice, but he sprinted back 20 metres, took the tap, and that you'd never would have seen him do that in previous years because he's never had that get up and go. He's never been that fit, in my opinion. But, yeah, he's in for a big season. Okay, having a look at a few of the Supercoach scores. Let's have a look at the bad. Keenan Palacia, 22, only got 31 minutes, started off the bench. Looks like he's out of favour with Des Hasler, and a couple of those tries went through him as well. I think the Flanagan try was around him, so you never really know when you look. Sometimes you're not sure who's broken the system, but, yeah, he was in and around a few of those defensive lapses, so that's not good for him. Brimson, 24. I don't know if too many people would have started with him, but I'll tell you what, if his price comes down and then the Titans go through a run of form, he could be a player to look for later in the year. Fifita. The young fella coming off the bench, Viliami Fifita, 15 in 14 minutes. So he only got 14 minutes. Probably not too bad for owners because I think he'll be out of the team when Blake Laurie comes back in. They might have stumbled across something there because Raymond Faitula-Mariner was absolutely unreal on the edge, and so was Sua. And Eisenhuth, I felt, was pretty good in the middle. So a bit of a selection conundrum there for Shane Flanagan, but a good one. And I'd say Viliami Fifita, being as young as he is, he's probably going to go back to 18th man or play some minutes in reserve grade. The good Kyle Flanagan, 58. Can he continue? That's the question. They're not going to play the Titans every week, but he has a fair bit to do with their game plan. He's sort of getting him around the park, taking a lot of pressure off Hunt, and that's going to allow Hunt to play his best footy. Hunt got 76. Jacob Little, hooking option, 67. He was priced at a 48. He played 68 minutes. Again, you've got a question if they carry a hooker on the bench. It's a little bit like Lussick and Hands at the Parra Eels. Like, could one week he play 70 minutes and then the next week he plays 40 minutes? I think it's a bit of a wait and see for Little, but he's always been a player with massive potential. Can find an injury, though. Sloan, 106. Wow, he was impressive. Good backing up game. Has tidied up a few of his things defensively, but he's going to get more tested by the better teams. So we'll see how that plays out. Yeah, Raymond Faitula-Mariner, like I said, 79. He was unreal. Busting a few tackles, standing in tackles, offloading. I don't know if it was just that they were playing the Titans. Probably the Titans and the Dolphins were the most disappointing defensive teams of the weekend, like really troubling. So we'll see how they bounce back. Zach Lomax. I'm going to say this. He's close to a must. I don't know how to get him in my side, but I watched him and Bryce Cartwright. Lomax pushed out 117. They have a fairly weak draw early. I'm really tempted to try and get him in. I don't know how I do. It'd probably be at the expense of someone like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, but with the goal kicking, if this St. George side gets a bit of momentum and they play the easy side of the draw, they can sort of trick themselves into believing in themselves, and they have lacked a lot of belief. But Flano's going to give them that. So, yeah, they're very, very interesting watch, St. George, which is a massive change. It's really good because I couldn't watch a lot of their games last year because they had no Supercoach relevant players and they just were playing without any spirit. So that was the goods. For watch, I had Fermor. He's a bit disappointing, but, you know, if you take out Foran, wasn't there for him to run off. I think it was just coming back off that long injury. Eisenhuth, like I said, was really good. 53. He's priced at a 36 average, and the great thing about Eisenhuth for St. George is he's 2RF and center wing. Yeah, so Eisenhuth, 53. I think you've really got to consider him. Probably have a look for another week and see how Blake Laurie affects that rotation. But certainly if he plays in the middle or he starts to get 80 minutes on the edge, he's going to be a player that can punch out those 45 to 60 scores for you every week. And you can play him in the center wing. Now, Moses Suli looked great, 55. I think that's below his average or his break even, but he certainly looked great NRL-wise. So I couldn't blame anyone who started with him or anyone who wants to get him in. Okay, over to Timmy for his second question of the day.
Next one for you, mate. What looks like the ideal hooking combination after this weekend? I'm thrilled with my Robson and Levi combo, but a lot of the big dogs didn't perform. How do you see it panning out?
Yeah, thanks, Timmy. I think, it's going to sound pretty bad, but I think the answer is hasn't materialized yet with the hooker. I'm quite happy to have Harry Grant, even though he didn't go large, and there is that bye looming. I think it's in round 4 or 5, so I know that's put some people off, but Reece Robson scored fairly well, 65 before updates. I'm just having a look now. Jacob Little's updated to 71, so that's, you know, well and truly above his break even. Even Cookie, you know, around about his break even at 68. So there's plenty of options there at hooker, and I think a lot of people will be keen on Joey Lussick, who almost doubled what his average score was supposed to be. So he's priced at about a 31, but he scored 61. Like I said, with Lussick, you know, that 40-20 and the try assist and line break assist, I'm not sure if how often he's going to do that, but yeah, Joey Lussick's certainly tempting. So I was thinking maybe something like a Harry Grant or possibly Reece Robson, you know, keeping an eye on Jacob Little and Joey Lussick. So around those four players. I mean, I'm not really keen at all on Danny Levi. I think that's a bit of an inflated score for him, and there's not too much else there. Keep in your back mind that Jaden Brayley, if he comes back and starts playing big minutes, you know, which is going to take a while, so you're going to get a bit of lead into it. He might just come off the bench for the first bits, but he's going to be a player that definitely comes into calculations throughout the year in the hooking role. Okay, on to the last game, today's game, and how good is it? Queensland, sunshine and dry weather on a fast field. And you know what's even better for the spectator? Two teams that don't really care about defending. And that's all we got today, being fully serious. The Cowboys and the Dolphins, like, the speed of the play the ball was ridiculous. They weren't working them over in the ruck at all. It was almost like a touch footy game there at some stages. So I think neither team really inspired much confidence in their defense moving forward, but the Cowboys, they just absolutely worked over the Dolphins' left side defense. Like Lemuelu, O'Sullivan and Tessie New, the 4-in, 3-in and 2-in player there, yeah, they made, like my son said, my eldest boy Bronce, he said to me, Dad, they're making Kyle Labor look like he's Greg Inglis or Latrell Mitchell. So, yeah, I think he was just about right. Like, some of that defense was really poor. And also the Hammer, he made some really poor plays. You know, the try that led to the Lukey where he kicked it. Even the first try where Labor made that break and he didn't take Labor, even though he had players coming back that was covering, I think it was Chad Townsend, and would have tackled him or got in between the pass. Yeah, just really uncharacteristic sort of soft options taken by the Hammer there. And it did cost his side. Like, it didn't really cost him Supercoach-wise. He still scored pretty well because that's the type of player he is, but it definitely cost him NRL-wise. The Cowboys have some issues. I mean, if you wanted to look at some value plays, I'd probably be backing middle forward, so your 9, 8, 9, 10, and 13 to score tries against the Cowboys, because that happens a lot. I noticed it last year, and they had two front rowers score tries against them in this game, the first two tries of the game, in the middle. So they have some issues around their defense there, but it's hard to take too much out of it for future prospects. I mean, the Dolphins look like they're really going to struggle with the defense. I'd be shocked if that left-hand side holds up. I know Lemuelu had an injury, so it looked like he was icing that up, but I'd be surprised if they ran out next week with Lemuelu, O'Sullivan and Tessie New, because they look totally disconnected. And a couple of times Sean O'Sullivan got isolated really badly. And you know, a lot of people will blame that on the half, but some of it is defensive systems. So we'll see what they come up with there. Okay, let's have a look at the Supercoach scores. I've just got basically the scores, and I'll try and have a chat with them on the run because this game's just finished. But Flegler, 72, I spoke about it earlier. It broke my heart a little bit. I had him in there, but having a chat to the SC Playbook boys, and they were pretty adamant that Tamalolo was going to, you know, get some increased minutes and that. I'm dirty mostly on myself because I've sort of done a deep dive into Tamalolo and worked out that, you know, under Payton, he's never really got the minutes and he's never really got the role. And when I saw him do four decoy runs in the first 10 minutes and not take a run, I realized that it was a mistake. That was even before the Flegler try. I thought Flegler was pretty good. I think I'm not going to probably rush to buy him in. I'd buy Terrell May before him, but he's going to get increased minutes in that side. My worry for Flegler is probably, is he going to get frustrated and give away some penalties and get himself suspended? Because I think the Dolphins are going to lose a lot more games than the Bronx did, and he used to get a bit that way with the Bronx. So he's always that risk as well. But I think in general, he's a pretty good buy. If you started with him, like I should have, well done to you. The Hammer, 72. Again, how did he get 72 in that game? I don't know. Obviously, some junk time points, but good luck to him. And if you started him, that's a good score for you. And I know Timmy Williams is a big fan of him. So, you know, maybe he presents value. He couldn't have played too much worse than that. So you'd have to think he's going to put up some scores this year. Jeremy Marshall-King, 46, looked dangerous. A bit like Egan, but not a great score Supercoach-wise. Jack Bostock got the late try, got him up to 37. I don't think I'll get him in. He's a player that might make you some cash, but he's going to be a tough watch, and I don't think he's ever going to be a confident play in your side. Helam Lukey had a HIA, and he got taken off. Some of the interchanges with him were really strange. He came back from the HIA, then got taken off for Fini Fuiaki, and then came back on and got 68. So it should update pretty well. I think most people have Helam Lukey, so he's a definite hold. Griffin Neame, 38. Sam McIntyre caught my interest. He's only available at 2RF. He's a 230K cheapie, and he scored 42 in 49 minutes. I reckon he'll probably get around the 40 to 50 minutes. I wouldn't expect that Tamalolo would get 21 minutes every game, but it was certainly enough for me to see that I made a mistake, because if Payton's in round one is going to be resting Tamalolo like that, that tells me that either he thinks he's an old man that needs resting or he's carrying injuries. It just seems like under Payton, Tamalolo is the first bloke to get rested, and he's also not really that keen on utilising his running game. It's strange to me, but until I see a change to that, he's straight out of my side. Reuben Cotter, I think I had him as a 44. I don't know if that'll update. He looked like he scored a lot better than that, than a 44. I'm just going to get on there and have a quick look now, because that might have been a mistake from me. Nah, it says 44. He probably gets some updates. Oh, that try got called back, I think. That's probably what's still in my head in there. Kyle Felt, 87. I know a few people that just went for a flyer on him because they know how good Drinky is on that side. I was filthy because early in the season I was that keen on the right side of the Cowboys. I got on Semi Valame in futures markets for top try scorer because I felt like he'd keep his spot. He was pretty impressive. He was 150-1, and I think I had $10 on it. So I was pretty happy with myself. And then when he didn't get the spot, I thought, oh, you are kidding. And so I went on there, and Kyle Felt was $150 as well. So I thought, oh, look, I'll have to have another $10 on that. So we'll see how that goes. But, like, my feeling is Felt, being the veteran that he is, probably doesn't get through the season. Like, if it was based on how many wing tries they score on that wing, then I'd probably win it. But I think it'll be a combination of Semi and Cole Felt, but worth a throw at the stumps, I think. Tommy Dearden, 58 with a try, is a little bit disappointing. Val Holmes, 103. If you went the marquee way, you'd be definitely happy with that. He looked good. He's running hard. Looks fit. Zach Labert, 107 or 101, I think it is. The spy is filthy with me because when he saw him play in the trial against, I think it was, I'm not sure who they played against, but anyway, he said, oh, look, I should bring him in. And I sort of said to him, I don't think he'll average more than 50, and he's priced at 45. So, yeah, maybe he does. He looked unbelievable today, but I do think he was flattered by that left-edge defense from the Dolphins, but you can't knock him on what he did. You can only play what's in front of you. Nanai, 81. A bit of a downhill game for them today, the Cowboys, so I wouldn't read too much into that score. And Reece Robson, 65. We spoke about him before. Okay, before we wrap it up, on to our last question from Timmy Williams.
One of the biggest ones, whilst the cheapy scene is looking beyond grim early on, how will this impact your trade plans going forward? Do you go harder? Do you wait and see how things pan out? The tactics? How does this change your team structure?
Yeah, thanks, Timmy. I think I've touched on this a bit. I have said fairly openly I'm prepared to trade fairly aggressively. I think the cheapy scene, it does look fairly grim, Timmy, but there also is some little sneaky ones there that you can have a look at. I think Eisenhuth is definitely one that a lot of people are going to be having a look at, and I think Sam McIntyre after today. You know, they're two players that can free up a lot of cash in your side if you think you can get to them. So my tactic is to find those little sneaky sort of players that maybe don't catch the eye NRL-wise, and therefore they're not that highly owned in Supercoach, but they just rack up those stats and they're reliable. So I'm going to look at that. And I'm also, I guess the biggest thing is, who do you trade out? Like, after one game or two games, I've looked back in the past and gone, geez, I wish I really should have stayed with that player. I should have stuck with them. Particularly this year, it's going to be tough because you're going to get to, after this round two, there's going to be some players that are going to have some huge break evens, and they're marquee players. Some of them marquee players, some of them not. You know, like a player like Brendan Piakura, if he comes out and knocks out, say, let's say he gets a 50 next week, I mean, what are you going to do with him? He's going to have a very high break even because of that HIA. So cash generation is a huge part of it. You've got to play the long game as well, but not to the detriment of points. So strategy comes in. I don't know if I've answered your question there, Timmy, but a lot of thinking is going to be different for different super coaches, and we'll see how it plays out. Okay, that brings us to the end of the SC Playbook weekly wrap for this week. I'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.